3, 2, 1. All right, guys, thanks for joining us for the latest episode of Respect, the John Atkins Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Mission Beach Marketing. Text Mission Beach, all one word, to 31996 to learn more about our social media management and local San Diego IT consulting. We're here with today's guest, San Diego comedian Christian Allen. What's up, Christian?
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. Thanks for coming out and joining the podcast.
The Respect John Atkins Podcast.
Hell yeah, you gotta put some respect on it, baby.
Yeah, I just started my new podcast recently. It's called the No Respect.
Oh, shit.
No Respect Podcast.
Oh, shit. Have to check it out. So what's up with you, man?
Not too much. It's been I pretty much just woke up and got here.
Yeah.
So I haven't had much of a morning. But what is new?
Are you from San Diego?
No.
Where are you from?
No, like Palm Springs area, Coachella Valley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was originally born in New York, lived there for a couple of years.
Like New York City?
Yes.
Okay.
But, you know, I was only 2-3 years old when I left, so I don't remember much of it. Bounced around a lot of places, but I would say majority grew up Coachella Valley, Palm Springs area.
Now, when they say upstate New York, is that everything that's just not like New York City?
I would assume.
You would assume?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know enough about New York.
It's just, I've only heard it like on TV, you know, they're like, oh, I live upstate.
Yeah. They're like, oof, upstate. Yeah, once the numbers get past a certain point. I don't know. I think the people actually from New York are very territorial about it.
Right.
But since I was just born there, I just dabbled.
Yeah.
I just got a toe in the water and I was out. I didn't even take a full dive in the pool, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, I like going back to visit the desert, but it's not a place for a young person.
Ooh, it's hot here today in San Diego, I can imagine.
Yeah, triple digits over there, easily.
Whew. So how long you say you've been here in San Diego?
About 8 years. Yeah,
okay.
A little over 8 years.
Did you come out here with family, or did you roll solo?
No, I came out here for school, so I moved out when I was 17.
Oh, okay.
Went to San Diego State, and I've pretty much been living on my own since.
Oh, okay. What'd you go to school for?
Rhetoric and writing studies. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure, well, that's got to be paying off a little bit now, right?
Yeah, working in that Italian restaurant.
Right.
You know.
Doing comedy for free.
Oh, yeah. No, well, I originally wanted to do a communications degree. And then since my GPA was not up to par for said communications degree, I was like, all right, what else can you give me? And they're like, we just opened up this brand new department called Rhetoric and Writing Studies. You need a 2.0 to be in. They're just giving everybody the green light,
right?
Just rolling them in. And I was one of the first graduating classes of said program.
Oh, shit. Are you still paying on your student loans and everything?
Whew, every day. Every day. I wake up and I just hear the money sign in my head, like, God, keep paying it off. Yeah.
I used to work at a law school downtown, and like when those people graduated law school, they would all own like $200,000 in student loans, $300,000, like shitload of money. And then they would like, oh, but it's okay, I'm gonna be a lawyer, like I'll be making a shitload of money.
Yeah.
And then like San Diego or California is oversaturated with lawyers, like everybody's a fucking lawyer. So now they have like this $200,000-$300,000 in debt with like no job, or they're making like $60,000 and they're like super screwed, you know?
This whole generation, right?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I was lucky because my dad was in the military, so I had 4 years of like free college.
Really?
Yeah.
So his GI Bill works for you too?
Yeah. Mm. So yeah, like otherwise I fucking wouldn't even went. Because I never like took it seriously because I knew like growing up that I'd always get to go to college for free.
Mm-hmm.
So I was never like, oh, I need to like.
It was never that pressure.
It was like my senior year of high school and they're like, what are you going to do? I was like, I don't know. They're like, did you apply yet? I'm like, no. And they're like, you need to do all that shit. I'm like, whatever. Like, so I mean, I went, but I wouldn't have gone if I had to, like, pay for it. Fuck that, you know?
Wouldn't have gone if it costed me anything.
Like, I knew. Like, I was like, oh, I'm going to go party, you know? But you need a degree to do anything, you know?
Yeah. I was just kind of... It was just kind of more of a pressure for me just to go.
Yeah.
So I was like, so I went.
I went to a school called Ball State, so...
Ball State.
It was known, like, for, like, a party school. Like, it used, like, in the 80s, it used to be, like, in the Playboy, like, top party school rankings. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, everybody thought San Diego State was a big party school. It's not.
Really?
I mean, sure, there's parties, but I wouldn't say any more than an average, like an average campus. School. Yeah.
Because we used to have, like, you would, like, walk out the dorm, and you would walk, like, a block away from campus, and you would just see, like, random people, like, hanging out on the lawn. And so you just, like, walk in, and you give someone $3, and they give you a cup, and you drink from the keg. But, like, no one knew, like, anyone. Like, you just see people hanging out and show up.
Yeah, well, I know there would be these Aztec lifers, these alumni that would show up to these parties every now and again, and they're like,
"Oh wow,
hey, you guys don't know what you're doing here." And I'm like, "Oh really?" He's like, "Yeah, back in my day, we used to have helicopters flying overhead while we're skating in the pool." And I'm like, "When was this?" And they're like, "Oh, it was back in the 90s." I'm like, "Well, yeah, Jesus." Now, first of all, that wasn't even that long ago, but I can get how those sort of shenanigans would warrant a party school reputation.
What movie is that? Is that a? Have you ever seen Varsity Blues? I think it's like Varsity Blues. They're all like high school football players in like Texas.
Yeah.
And then like some old guy like shows up to one of their parties and like with his Letterman jacket on and like they like beat him up or something. Like, but it's like that same situation where he's like, yeah, back in my day.
But what was weird is they were clearly older people, but they just had like their Letterman jackets and like SDSU swag.
Oh, I was going to ask if he had his Letterman jacket.
Yeah. One guy did have the leather jacket, but all of them in one respect or another have like SDSU swag. Like they have to have the hat or the jersey or the t-shirt or something.
What's like the classic old guy? Like I picture like a red sweater, you know, like some Bob Knight looking.
No, because I didn't really go to a lot of those like fratty or jockier parties. Oh, it's okay. Mostly like older dudes with skateboard hats, backwards hats.
So even like the metal scene has like the old guys showing up and...
Yeah, dude. Well, the metal scene is still old guys. Half of the metal scene is the old guys. Like, you know... We were watching the Slayer before you were even born. I'm like, hey, who gives a shit?
Oh, my buddy's been bugging me lately. He wants to go to Slayer's last concert on it's on his birthday, so he wants to go.
It's in LA.
Yeah.
It's going to be a mess.
Yeah, he wants to go, and I was like, I listen to rap music. Like,
yeah.
You know.
He's like, it's the same thing, dude. You know, like Eminem or Angel of Death. It's right? Like so similar.
Yeah, and like, I don't know. But it's cool because like, I mean, I'll probably go because it's a thing with people, but...
It's a thing with people. That's what gets you to things now. Yeah. It's a thing. There's people there.
All right.
Sold. I don't care if I'm going to get branded and carved by the end of the night. It's a thing. There's people.
I'm 35, so I feel like that'd be weird to go to your first, like, metal concert at 35, you know?
Be weird to go at, like, 50.
Yeah, 35 is fine?
Yeah, 35 is fine.
Okay.
You would be surprised at, like, the just scope of people that go to these things. Like, I remember one of the first concerts I ever went to was AC/DC at the Forum in 2008. And
isn't it cool just to say, like, the Forum?
Is it?
I feel like it is.
The Forum? I mean, it'd be cooler if I played it. When I did that show at the Forum. That would sound...
Yeah.
You know,
or the Garden.
Yeah, the Garden. Ooh. Just abbreviate the first two words of that to just the Garden.
Hell yeah.
That's how casual of a relationship I have.
Right.
With the Garden.
One day, bro. Be fucking headlining that shit.
As long as I can have flamethrowers on stage.
Hell yeah. I watch wrestling, so I'm all about the fucking pyrotechnics and shit, you know?
Yeah. So I'm at the Forum. I'm there with my dad. Don't know what's going on. And then there's this group of like four or five people in front of me. And they all have light-up devil horns because they were passing around these light-up devil horns. Two rows in front of me, then one row in front of me. Somebody in that second row hands a camera. This was still like a digital camera. It wasn't even like the cell phone cameras yet. And the guy in the row in front of me grabs the camera. Then everybody in that second row turns around, and it's like one of those Russian doll things of like de-escalating height where you had like the mom, the dad, the two kids, and then the grandpa shorter than the two kids. And they all had their light-up devil horns, and they all had Iron Maiden t-shirts on, and they all took a picture together before AC/DC played.
And they were like little kids?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, probably like 10, 12, if I had to guess.
I don't know, man. Like, I guess that's cool, but you gotta be careful when you take your kids, though, you know?
Well, I mean, that was AC/DC. It's pretty...
Oh, yeah.
You know, on the spectrum of things,
that's true.
Probably very G-rated.
It's not like a Two Live Crew concert or something.
Yeah, or a Three Live Crew, Four Live Crew. Prime Number Crew.
One of the guys from Two Live Crew, like Uncle Luke or whatever, like he ran for mayor of Miami a couple years ago.
Really?
Yeah. He didn't win, though, but...
I mean, hey, a Terminator can win office, so anything's possible, right?
Right? That's crazy, dude. And he married a Kennedy? I like that. You ever seen that?
I love that Bill Burr.
Bill Burr,
I knew exactly what you were going for.
Right when you said that, I was thinking, like, oh, you married a Kennedy.
That guy's been in the zone for 40 years or whatever. Why are we doing that? Why am I reciting Bill Burr right now?
It's a good bit.
Yeah, it's a great bit, but I shouldn't be.
It's funny because I have like four different like YouTube profiles for like different stuff that I work on. So like when I change like a profile, like all the old shit I've already seen like pop up again. So I've seen that Bill Burr bit
so many
like
times.
Twice this week, you know, like it'll just pop up on my shit to watch.
I remember before I got into stand-up, I'd always like watch specials and then I would be so into a special, I'd want to like watch it with all my friends. And
right.
Like, isn't that so funny?
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And because I remember listening to podcasts with comedians, and someone would be plugging a new special, and an actual comic would be like, oh yeah, I haven't, you know, I'm probably not going to watch that special. I haven't seen specials.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard for me to watch specials. And right. I remember thinking, like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. How can you be a stand up comedian
right.
and not be watching stand up comedy specials?
Right.
And then I started actually going out and doing open mics and stuff like that. I'm like, I don't have time specials anymore. Like,
yeah, I get that because I accidentally stole a Dave Chappelle bit without realizing
you did?
It. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh man, this is fucking fire, bro. And I was like, crafting it, you know,
yeah.
like perfecting it, like, oh, this shit's fucking fire. And then, like, then I saw, like, a Dave Chappelle, like, one of his new Netflix ones. And it was, like, one that I saw a long time ago, too. And then I watched it again, and I was like, God damn it. I was like, that's where that came from. I was so pissed.
Did you watch that special, and then you think you subconsciously?
Yeah, it was, like, I saw it, and then, like,
You just forgot.
Because then, like, right when I saw it again, I was like, oh, I have seen this. God damn it.
So like, oh, that sounds kind of familiar.
I had to get my phone out and like delete it. I was like, son of a bitch. It's like, this is so good.
And then I started four YouTube accounts just to call out what a hack you are. four separate accounts just to call John Atkins a hack.
All my fucking YouTube videos have like at least four thumbs up on them.
And now they'll be having four thumbs down.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
4chan's gonna get me.
I guess there's a thing called 8chan now.
Yeah,
well,
they
it's been around a while, but
yeah, but I think they got taken down, right?
For what is it? Nazism, homophobia?
No.
Usual.
They say, well, because like all those shooters keep like posting their manifestos on there and shit.
Okay.
But like I feel like it's one of those websites where like when they're unfiltered, like the powers that be can't like be in control of like the message like they are like the mainstream media and shit. So they're like, oh, they did something bad. We'll just shut it all down because there's like a lot of stuff there you won't see like on the like the mainstream
on the other chans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, not even the other chans, just like mainstream like TV in general, you know.
Yeah.
Cuz there, you know, they have more liberties with like their theories and shit they can come up with, and you know, mainstream media, they'll be like, "Oh, alleged like murderer, like
yeah, he played video games."
That shit's crazy, though. Like, that did piss me off when they tried to fucking say it's about video games.
Well, now it's your turn.
Yeah.
It used to be they're blaming heavy metal.
Right.
And
yeah.
They're like, ah, that didn't work. Now they're coming into your camp. They're like, it's video games.
But I don't even play video games. That's why it's like, but that, like, they did that before, too.
You're like, I could totally shoot up a whole place without having played video games.
Right.
Totally possible.
Hell yeah. Fucking, those guns aren't even real. Like, Fortnite, like, I don't have a phaser or whatever the fuck.
Call me when you do have a phaser. I could use
right?
one.
Right? I'll set it to stun.
Yeah. Just watched A New Hope last night with the director commentary.
What is it?
A New Hope, Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
Episode 4.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They're pretty much talking through the whole thing.
Oh, but really?
I've seen the movie so many times that it was like, it was kind of fun to listen to the commentary on the scenes they're talking about while watching, like.
Oh, because I've never actually watched, like, the commentary, like, on a movie.
Yeah.
So it's actually them talking, like, during the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was, like, at the end they do, like, a.
No, because some movies do it differently. Sometimes they'll kind of talk over some scenes and then let the actual diegetic noise carry through. And then sometimes they'll just put, like, little infographics on, like, the corners of the screen while it's playing.
I don't know if I would like that or not.
Well, it was just, it was kind of like a spur of the moment thing. Like,
I guess if you've seen it a bunch of times, and like, they're going to ruin it. Times.
Yeah, yeah. My girlfriend are doing this thing where we watch a Star Wars movie every month until a new Star Wars movie comes out.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, so episodes 9 is coming out at the end of the year, right? So we're going to do like March, we're doing 1, April, we're doing 2, and then go chronologically. And so we're going to watch episode 8 in November and then episode 9 in December when the new one comes out.
What's your favorite episode?
I don't know, between 3, 5, or Rogue One.
Oh, Rogue One, really?
Oh, dude, I love Rogue One.
I like the scene where fucking Darth Vader kills everyone. Like, obviously, that's badass.
Could have made a whole movie out of just that.
Right?
Yeah.
They really could have fucking, like, Well, they could have saved that for like all their other shit, because they have like, you know, like the cartoons and...
Yeah, you know, a big complaint about Rogue One was that it didn't have like the typical character archetypes that Star Wars movies usually have. You know, the lovable mercenary,
or, right?
You know, this the certain weird, type of hero,
the weird animal,
right? And I'm like, but did you need that? Did you need to have that in that movie? Because right. It wasn't the story wasn't really about that. It was just more about the narrative.
Well, that's like the main criticism for like the last one. They're like, oh, it was just like Episode 4.
You're talking about The Force Awakens.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it was just like Episode 4. I'm like, yeah. And then now they're like, oh, it's not like Episode 4. I'm like, well, make up your fucking mind, version.
Yeah. Like Brian Posehn had a good bit about that when he went on Conan or something like that, where they said it was exactly like A New Hope. He's like, oh, so does that mean you don't like comfort food either? Really like mashed potatoes, fried chicken? That's you're not about that? But no, it's I just feel like that trilogy, the current trilogy, can't make up its mind. You know what I mean?
Well, because
like
they've had different directors, right?
For yeah. The last, yeah. Every single thing. And it was like the first one, they played it way too safe. And then right. The second one, they went too far off the rails. And I'm like, so now we need this third movie just so you can split the difference? Like,
I don't have high expectations for it, to be honest.
Well, I mean, my biggest complaint were like just the way it seems like they're being very reactive instead of proactive. Like in the... You know, in the first new movie, in The Force Awakens, they're like, ooh, Kylo Ren's got these Knights of Ren's, and Emperor Snoke is going to be this big bad guy. And have you wondered about Luke Skywalker? Well, he comes in the last 5 minutes. And then in Episode 8, they're like, fuck Luke Skywalker. He's not into it. Fuck the Knights of Ren. You don't get to see him. Oh, did you like Kylo Ren's cool little helmet? Yeah, he breaks it. He's not into it. What about Snoke? We built him up to be super cool, right? Nope, he gets fucking bisected in the first
Wasn't
act of the movie.
Wasn't that like the fucking, like... lamest, like not lamest, but like least like exciting like death scene for
it
like
it was so underwhelming.
It's like, oh, Boopy's dead. Like
it was what? So underwhelming. And then I was thinking, oh, so he's gonna like force ghost project himself in the
yeah. I don't understand the Snoke thing at all. Like, well, who is he? Do we even know who he
is? No. But then again, we didn't know who Palpatine was either in Empire Strikes Back. But you kind of didn't need it, and yeah. I feel like. Now that we're continuing something that's already been finished, you kind of need to have more of those explanations.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, because, like, when you're introducing, like, a whole universe, like, you're not going to know everyone's, like, backstory. But this is, like, yeah, like you're saying, like, central part of, like, a new...
Yeah, it's a different perspective, because actually that was one of the things Lucas mentioned in the commentary last night, was he said he didn't want, in the original trilogy, he didn't want to waste time explaining things like, oh, this is how hyperspace works. This right. is how, like you just get into it, and you're like, okay, this is a cantina where these, you know, right. evil aliens are. Like, you're just, you get sucked into the narrative, but now that there's all this expanded universe, there's merchandise, there's right. all this fucking lore and everything, like, now you do kind of need to...
Yeah, I can see, like, for George Lucas, it's, like, strategic not to explain all that shit, because you would get bogged down. And then the more explained, the more you have to keep up. Because, like, the... I saw, like, one of his interviews where, like, the spaceships or whatever, like, they weren't called, like, X-Wings. They were just called, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when the toys came out, they had to come up with names for everything for the fucking toys. Or maybe not X-Wing, but, like, the other shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like the
Y-Wings.
Yeah.
Or the A-Wings. Or the B-Wings.
The X-Y-Wings.
ABC. LGBTQ-Wings.
That sounds like a barbecue sauce.
LGBTQ wings?
Yeah.
Ooh, rainbow-colored sauce or something? Or some kind of sprinkled dry rub? Oh, yeah. Fairy sprinkle dry rub. That's the LGBTQ.
I was on another podcast with someone else, with Tommy, and he was... we were talking about Married with Children, like the show Married with Children.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the stars on there, he's like, yeah, I heard she was like a really big LGBTQ activist back in the day. And I was like, well, in the 90s, wasn't it just LGB? He like didn't even know how to react, like, because I was on his podcast, so he started like
he's got to play host,
yeah and change the subject. But yeah, like they add, you know, to it.
He's like, and now back to it, we're sponsored today by Blue Apron, the biggest supporter of LGBTQ.
And it's, dude, I love the cancel culture.
What, when you just drop shit?
Where, a celebrity will do something that's, like, perceived as, like, whatever, and then everyone's like, oh, we're gonna kick him out of the Oscars or whatever, like.
I try to keep my finger as far off of the pop culture pulse
yeah.
as humanly possible, but, you know, one way or another, things trickle into my orbit.
Right.
And I remember some story about people going after Ellen.
Ellen
DeGeneres.
Really?
Like, as if she wasn't gay enough.
Like, she's like, she hits every, like, box of someone you're not supposed to, like, go after, you know?
Yeah. And they found a way to go after her, and I'm just like, you guys.
Then you are truly lost. Oh, I saw the funniest fucking thing. Like, I saw this headline, but I didn't really, like, read it. And then I saw, like, Joe Rogan talking about it. There was, like, this transsexual man. So, like, a woman to a man. And then she worked at a college. And then she was the, like, diversity officer for the college.
Okay.
But once she transitioned, they fire her because now she's a white male. And she's no longer, like, diverse.
Dude, someone left their brain at home that day.
Dude, like, now, like, because I feel like, I feel like it's easier being, like, a conservative. Because, like, once your thoughts are, like, set in stone, you're like, that's it. Like, you know, I should, you know, have a family and, like, work or whatever. Like, whatever, like, you think, like, you don't have to, like, change it. Like, the liberals, like, every week, it's like, they got a new, like, oh, now, like, we're fucking pro-animal
which is
sex or whatever.
Why I feel that maybe conservatives just have a better following, like, in terms of, like, loyalty and stuff that. It's because when people say things, they do it.
Right.
You know, and at least there's no second guessing what someone's about. Even if somebody's a, you know, glaring racist or bigot or whatever, it's like, well, we know he's a bigot. We know he's a racist.
Now, I know conservatives, there's a lot of, like, virtue signaling. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, like, whatever, Jesus, shit. Mm-hmm. But I feel like liberals, like, their virtue signaling is, like, so much worse.
Well, not only that, but I feel like the criteria is constantly shifting.
Yeah.
You know, like, for a while, it was like you just had to be cool with gay people. And you're
right.
Like, all right, there's gay people. It's like,
right.
Well, now there's bi people, like you said. And
right.
It keeps adding more things to it. And now there's all these terms for gender and stuff like that. And the reason it's difficult for me, not because I'm bigoted or close-minded, it's just that's a lot to remember.
Right.
Like, regular people come up to me and they're like, oh, so you like heavy metal, right? And I just say yes.
Oh, you don't say, I love thrash fucking gray.
Yeah, I don't.
Thunderbox.
Yeah. More specifically, I listen to Swedish black and death metal from the northern reaches of. No, I'm like, no, yeah, fine. It's metal. It's metal, you know?
Yeah, that's like the polite thing to do, you know?
Yeah. I mean? Like, oh, so you like Pantera? I'm going to be like, no. But you like heavy metal? Sure. Sure, we don't need to go into the black metal, death metal, thrash metal, doom metal, Viking metal, speed metal.
How annoying is that with like anything, though?
That's what I'm saying, and it's like it's. I'm not trying to give you those gender terms because I'm close-minded or I'm bigoted. It's just like that's just a lot to remember,
right?
For just like somebody I just met,
right? I feel like the best I can do is like sigh and like roll my eyes, like, all right. Like depends, but sometimes I just don't want to put up their shit, you know. Either I'm like, whatever, dude. Like, just be gay.
Yeah,
just say you're gay.
Like, yeah,
no one cares about that other shit.
I think I have a bizarre luxury where I'm just so far buried beneath all of that garbage that I don't have to deal with it
as often. I actually haven't had to for a while. Well, not actually, I never had to deal with it, but I haven't worked all summer, so I've been on unemployment, but I'm actually starting to get back into the work shit again.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have to be back in the office and, you know, presentations about fucking harassment and all of that shit's going to start coming again.
So now you gotta get that podcast shared in that office. Like, hey, let me tell you a thing or two about. Yeah, we had a HR meeting at my work probably sometime last month where they were talking about, you know, workplace harassment, gender identity and stuff like that. And we're like, you don't need to tell us about workplace harassment. We harass people just fine.
Right, yeah.
At work. Like,
yeah, especially in like the food industry.
Dude, in kitchens, like front of house and back of house, we are just disgusting. Just terrible human beings.
Like I wish I was in the workplace harassment meeting at an Italian restaurant because I'd be doing all these things with like the breadsticks while they're talking.
Yeah, they didn't have food on the table during the said. But
I'm like, if you see a customer eating a breadstick like this, you know, don't make any comments.
You just got to offer them a knife so they can chop it up and they don't have to eat it like that.
I got spoiled when I was a kid because we used to have this awesome pizza place by my parents. And they had, like, the best, like, cheese. It was, like, a spicy cheese. And then, like, to dip in there. And then, like, every Italian restaurant I went to always wanted, like, cheese to dip my breadsticks in. And they're like, no, we don't have cheese. Like,
what is wrong with you?
They're like, we have some marinara, I guess. And I'm like, ugh. I want some fucking spicy cheese to dip this shit in.
Well, it's weird because my restaurant's like Italian, but it's like California Italian. So it's like Italian with an asterisk mark. You know, we're not that Italian.
It's the Barry Bonds of fucking Italian food.
Yeah, so we'll give you bread and butter. We have like customizable pastas. We do deep dish pizzas.
I can see. Do you have to wear like the button-up white shirt and everything?
No. See, we're not that Italian. But it's weird when like these like, Guido fucks come in. Like asking for olive oil and balsamic, and we need garlic to dip in that. I'm like, garlic to dip in the bread? What do you think this place is? And you're like, oh, I thought it was an Italian place. I'm like, okay.
Do they talk with their hands and shit?
I really want to. I want to carry the trays with my hands like this. I want to pick up the plates with my hands pinched in that fashion. Like the first month I worked there, it just killed me to not call out everything in like a really hacky Italian accent. Like, if we could just box up the gnocchetti for me, I'm like, did you get this? Like the whole first month, I was just like stifling my giggles to try to not just burst out.
Let her rip, bro.
Let freedom ring.
Hell yeah.
Let marinara flavored freedom ring.
I mean, dude, like, the older I get, I realize that like all jobs suck. So you gotta like make them fun, you know? Like I always like have someone that I can say stupid shit to at work, otherwise I'm fucking like miserable, you know?
Yeah, I remember hearing somewhere that the three things you should look for in a job are the people, the product, and the process.
Yeah.
And that in the perfect job you have all three of those, but right. In a good job you should have at least two of those. Like,
right.
You know, the people, do you enjoy who you're working with? The product, do you enjoy what it is you're making?
Right.
Or presenting? And then the process, it's, do you enjoy how that's being made? And, you know, my old job, I liked zero of them.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't like the people. Yeah. I didn't like what we were making, and I didn't like how we were making it.
Yeah.
So.
I used to work in a call center for a medical device company, and it was fucking awful. Because we're tech support, so we're always getting pissed off people and shit. So that was awful. And then, like, the product was technically good, but, like, stuff around it made it not good, you know?
I just feel like talking to people on the phone changes the dynamic a lot, because I was working in a warehouse.
Oh, people get ballsy on the phone.
Yeah, bro. Working in a warehouse for a few years, and then when I started getting moved up to more like office stuff that was a little bit easier, it involved a lot more phone calls, and like you said, people just be nasty on the phone.
But right.
Like, when you talk to people in person at a table at a restaurant, they're very, right. It's very, like, even if they're upset about something,
they'll save it for Yelp.
Yeah, they do. They do. We had a table a couple weeks back that was really upset because there was like some butter on the chicken or something like that, and she asked for like no butter on the chicken. I'm like, we don't even put butter on the chicken. It was like some bizarre
thing. What's like the weirdest complaint you got?
Not the weirdest complaint I got, but like one of the complaints that was communicated to me was that we're not something about the way we squeezed our limes. Because then I started barbacking a few months ago, too.
So like, were you guys not squeezing them in a humane way or something?
Like, I don't know what it was, but she...
It's got to be halal or...
Like, the lady that complained... It was basically an issue of cross-contamination, and it was, like, something because we were, like... We were using the shakers, and then we would strain the shaker and then garnish immediately after. Like, she wanted us to wash our hands in between, like, shaking up the cocktail... And then adding the garnishes.
What? I've actually taken a bartending class, and that sounds fucking dumb.
Like, you know how many extra steps that involves if you did have to do that? And, like, we work very clean. Like, it's a nice place. We work, you know, everybody's got our food handler certificates. And,
right.
You know, we know to wash our
actually,
hands.
That's a good thing. I would just be like, nope, we follow all the established food handling protocols. Like,
yeah, well, fortunately, our manager, you know, had to reply to the email... You know, review and mention that, but it's like, yeah, people will complain. But the weirdest thing about those serious complaints is that they'll never talk about it in person.
Oh, right.
Like those ones where, you know, you look it on Yelp and you're like, wow, that customer just eviscerated the restaurant. 100% of those people never take it up with the people at the restaurant right. First. Because usually if you do, there would be some sort of diplomatic answer. Well, okay, we'll take care of the salad, you know. We'll take care of your drinks, or don't even worry about the check. Like, there's enough
right. Things
you can delegate to right. navigate a situation like that.
That's like cowardly too, you know. Like, don't
honestly,
give people.
I think people want that though. I think people want to have something
to like complain about.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's what we're talking about like. Earlier. Like the whole outrage, fucking cancel culture. It's like, You know Mario Lopez? Like the guy, A.C. Slater from Saved by the Bell?
With the, what was it, the Entertainment Tonight guy?
Yeah. How they all
Super
got mad at
guy?
Yeah. Because they're trying to get him like fired and everything because he's like, well, I don't think a 3-year-old can decide to be transgender. And everyone's like, oh my God, you fucking bigot. And like, I'm like, that seems like a reasonable statement, you know?
Because like, well, it's not a bigoted thing. It's just more of like a, what does anyone know about gender at 3 years old?
Right.
Thing.
And then like every comment blow is like, when I was 3, I wanted to be a kitten. When I was 3, I wanted to be a transformer. Like, it's like, yeah, kids are fucking dumb. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to give them hormones and shit?
Yeah. I feel like all those people only exist on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Because you go outside, you're like, where are these people?
Yeah.
These outraged people that should be marching in the streets, they're not there. Like,
right. It's funny because, like, even though I'm a conservative, I watch Bill Maher, like, every mm-hmm. week.
Yeah.
Like, just because I watch everything, you know?
I like him. Well, he
goes back.
He does lately, to both sides.
Lately, he's been going hard on, like, Democrats, you know what I mean? He's like, you guys don't go on Fox News. Like, you're afraid to, like, talk to them. I'm like, good, dude. Like, and then they're, like, now everyone's mad at him.
Well, I remember he had some really good bit about one of those, like, it wasn't New Rules, but it was one of those segments that he did about how stupid it was that, like, a bunch of liberals got Ted Cruz kicked out of a Chipotle.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they screamed him out of a Chipotle because they didn't like him, and he's like, whoop-de freaking do.
Right.
He didn't get him burritos for the day, but you know what conservatives do have? They have all these seats in Congress. They have right. all this power. Like,
they're like, who owns Chipotle? Yeah. it's just like, I don't get it, like... To me, it's all like virtuous signaling. Like, everyone wants you to know that they're better than you, so they're going to tell you like how fucked up everything else is and that they're better than that, you know?
It's just weird that the only way to try to prove to people that you're a good person is by showing how much you will put down other people.
Right.
Like, see, I'm a good person. I'm throwing Disney down the drain because they had racist shit from 50 years ago.
Right.
We don't put up with that because we're not racist.
Like, that's why I want to be a comedian. Or that's why I'm a comedian, you know, so I can just be like, oh, I am a piece of shit. So it's your story about how I'm a piece of shit. Like, yeah. Fuck you. Like, they're never going to Me Too me or anything because my jokes are about how I'm fucked up and shit. So,
I mean, dude, even the metal world had that happening to it, whereas like then allegations would come out of racist this or pedophilia that, and
yeah.
like, there were all these bands that just got,
oh really,
buried, and it was so weird because you think of something as like underground as black metal or you know all these little niches in these segmented communities, like I wouldn't think something as big as that umbrella would ever trickle down into something as intimate. As like these weird little catacombs of heavy
right.
metal community, and it did, and it did, and there was like we have like a TMZ of the metal world. That,
is there?
Yeah, that goes after scalps.
Oh,
we'll find some weird little grain of sand from 15 years ago and be like, they're awful. Remove them. Don't put them on festivals. Don't book them in your town. We did have a couple of bands where these false allegations were coming out. Well, it's not false allegations. They just took something out of context and
yeah.
blew it out of proportion and prevented this band 3 different times from coming into the country.
Oh, really? Wow.
And, you know, we're not just talking about, like, shutting down some, you know, rinky-dink show. We're talking about shutting down an entire tour where, like, these bands earn a living.
Right.
You don't make money off of music anymore because everything's
yeah.
digital. The only way you can make money off music is from touring.
Right.
You get ticket sales, you get merchandise, you get
right.
t-shirts. And once you took a Norwegian band's entire freaking North American leg over some garbage,
right.
you just fucked with their ability to earn a living for, you know, who knows how long. Not that they're coming home with bank off those tours either. So it's like you're going to take that small little morsel away from them because... Because you got upset. Because you got upset over something.
So what's? I just saw something in the New York Times the other day that's kind of like that, but the opposite. Because that's what journalists do, right? Like, they look for any politician or celebrity, and they find shit from, like, 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I just saw a thing in the New York Times where now they're worried that Trump supporters, the listeners can't see my finger quotations, but quote-unquote Trump supporters are, like, going through journalists' old tweets and shit. And are like compiling all the times that they were hypocritical about something.
Now that's
brutal. And now the New York Times is like, oh, they shouldn't be doing this. I'm like, motherfucker, that's where all your money came from is doing that shit.
You can dish it, but you can't take it.
And they're like, oh, now there's a coordinated movement online between Trump supporters where they're, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, look, trying to bring shit from the past to discredit journalists. And then at towards the end, it's like, not that any of the claims were found to be untrue, but they were out of context. And it's like, basically like, oh, fuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just, if there's stuff you posted years ago that makes you cringe, then that's a good thing because it means you're growing in a better direction.
That's like tearing down statues. Like, I never delete shit, dude. Like, if they find something I did from like 5 years ago, I'm like, well, I was fucking drunk 5 years ago or some shit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know why everything has to be, like, a death sentence nowadays.
Right.
Like, okay, I'm embarrassed about this thing that I posted. I wasn't proud of it, and, like, it's, I feel bad. I feel really bad. Right. These don't reflect my current views anymore.
Right.
That's not enough anymore.
Right.
Like, you have to have your career destroyed. You have to be evicted from your apartment. You have to have, like, all these things torn away from you until people are happy to move on to the next one.
And, like, they do this shit with, like, tearing down statues. I'm like, no, like, that's part of your history. You got to know about that shit. You know what I mean? There was a, do you know Joy Reidis? She's either works on MSNBC or CNN. One of, the, like, the liberal, like, news stations. I think it's MSNBC. But she's like a black woman, and then like they found like blog posts like from like 10 years ago where she was talking bad about Jews and like gay people and like all this shit. And then someone found it like last year, and she's like, oh, I was hacked. They're like, 10 years ago? Like, did they? She's like, the Russians hacked me or some shit. And they're like, did they go back in time and like write all this
far?
Shit?
Yeah.
Like, come on. And then she's, you know, because everyone like on CNN, MSNBC, they're super like outspoken against like Trump and everything. And then so, like, they call it, like, the Trump curse. Like, everyone that goes on TV talks shit about him. Like, a week later, like, something's revealed about them, you know?
See, I'm getting upset just talking about it. And I don't even watch cable television.
But for me, it's like sport, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you have, like, a detached perspective from it. I can understand the entertainment value.
Well, as a comedian, you know, like, we find humor in, like, fucked up things, so...
You have to.
Right.
You have to.
Especially, like, someone so hypocritical, like, oh, he's a Nazi, blah, 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 blah. Like, what about all this shit you wrote about Jews? I was hacked. I was hacked 10 years ago, and it's been up for 10 years, and I was hacked.
I mean, I have statuses about bands that I love now that I just shit on in the past.
Oh, yeah.
That makes me cringe so hard.
Usually it's, like, the other way, right? Like, you used to like them, and now you hate them?
Yeah, I guess. Like, somewhere there's, like, a Backstreet Boys CD lurking under all my satanic records that I'm going to unearth and just be, no one can see this.
The first CD I ever owned was Paula Abdul.
Oof.
But my parents bought it for me because I was, like, in fourth grade, I think. Like, because they got me a CD player for Christmas. And so they bought, like, a CD, and it was fucking, like, Paula Abdul.
Yeah, I remember I got The Beatles' Let It Be at this record store. And I was like, okay, this is the Beatles, the magnificent Beatles I've heard so much about. I put it on. I was like, oh, it's fine.
Yep.
I don't really get why Beatles are such a big deal. And then I found, like, the earlier stuff. And I'm like, oh.
Well, they were more of, like, right place at right time, right?
It was, but, like, Let It Be was, like, I think the last CD they did before they broke up. So it's just kind of... It's good if you're a Beatles fan, but not if you're a 10-year-old who's never listened to the Beatles before. Right. You want all those catchy, I Want to Hold Your Hands,
right.
She Loves You kinds of songs. Then it makes sense.
Because it was before the Beatles, right? It probably wasn't normal for like British bands or British anything to be here, right?
Yeah, especially if you're a colonist. colonial. colonist. Christ, what's... I can't even... would you hate those redcoats? Whatever that's called.
How funny is it that it took, like, a bunch of... We weren't even Americans at the time, but we're like, oh, we're not going to, like, stand in front of you. Like, we're going to hide behind those trees and then shoot you, like...
And they're like, but this is the way we've always done it. We're like, nope. That's like, we're going to be right here at this time. We're all going to show up. And there would be families having picnics when, like, wars were going on. Because they're like, nope, it's going to be over there if we're half a mile this way. You can just go watch Daddy die.
That's like the most American. We weren't even Americans yet, and we were already became Americans. We're like, no, we're going to fucking hide behind these trees. Like,
no. I already stomped the shit out of those red people. This land is ours.
Is that cultural appropriation? Like, because they dressed up like Indians and too shit, right?
I mean, people still do. That still hasn't gone away.
I like how we still call them Indians. Like, what? I do it on purpose. Because I think it's funny. Because no one else, like, I know some people say Native American, but a lot of people say Indians. I'm like, we're not in India.
Well, I think some people don't even... I didn't even press the button on this. I think some people don't even like the term Native Americans because it implies, like, America. And, like, they were here before it was America.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't even know. I don't know enough people from that.
I actually... I told them we were... I forget where I was at. But I was, like, holding court, basically. And I was like, the only people that are allowed to be racist are history majors. Because, you know, like, an American is like, you know, I don't like Mexicans. They all need to get out. And then someone will be like, well, you know, technically, Mexicans were here. But then, like, a history major would be like, well, technically, the Mexicans were, you know, conquered by Spain. So white people, you know what I mean? Like, you can take that shit back to all the way to, like, well, the Icelandics technically fucking were here. For, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
well, the Pangean master race sort of belongs to them.
Like, we, like your typical, like, leftist American, like, they stop at, like, what we did. You know what I mean? They're like... It was awful that, you know, white people had slaves. I'm like, everybody had fucking slaves. The first slave owner in America was black. And most people don't know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, the fucking, you only hear about how, like, white people fucking had slaves because they hated black people. I'm like, no, white people had slaves because slaves were poor. And that's why they always, everyone always had slaves. Black people, there's black people in North Carolina that owned white slaves.
I believe that.
You know what I mean? And they fucking, like, the first slave owner in this country was black. And the people that, in the African tribes, that they were black that sold the slaves to the fucking Europeans.
I know black people have had slaves in Africa before.
They still do.
Yeah. Everybody has. That's the ultimate commodity you can have as a human.
Is another
is
human.
To own another human.
Yeah.
Like, that's the ultimate thing you can have.
But I don't see as, like, racist.
No.
I mean, I can see, like, in American history... why it's bad, but even I feel like that's, like, super...
Yeah, it's just more of a power thing. Like, yeah. If somebody has a bigger gun than you, then by default you're going to be their slave. And
right.
I think that slavery was more of a means to amplify the existing racist notions. Where it's like, yeah, you're less than us? Yeah, we'll prove it. We'll own you.
Right.
And then that becomes...
Yeah, because I guess ever since they killed Gaddafi in Libya, like, the fucking slave trade came back. Like,
did it?
They have, like, I've heard, I haven't watched it, but I heard you can go on YouTube and watch, like, live slave auctions going on now in Libya.
On World Star Hip Hop?
On fucking YouTube.
They got a live stream slavery
yeah,
channel?
Yeah, dude. And, like, that was because we fucking interfered in another country and killed their dictator, and then now fucking they got slave trades, like, out
for
in the open.
Freedom, John. We inserted freedom.
That's why fuck all the other countries. I don't care. Like, we don't need to fucking let them figure their own shit out. You know what I mean? Like,
it's just weird when you spend all this time going to, like, air quote, liberate a country, and yeah. Then you're just like, all right, now y'all figure it out.
Right.
And we get the fuck out of there, and then it goes back again to shit.
I'm a fucking isolationist, dude. I'm like, I don't give two fucks about the rest of the world. The only countries we need are, like, Colombia, because they got
coffee
and cocaine.
Yeah, I was trying to play it safe.
And then and then Afghanistan for the oil. Lithium and the poppy. That's it.
And Saudi Arabia for the oil, dude.
Ah, we got more oil than we're the largest oil producing country now.
God, you're so informed. Yeah. About all these things.
Well, it's hard to be hateful and uninformed, so...
I'm a nerd in, like, the most wrong ways possible. Like, it's all Star Wars Expanded Universe and who is the producer on what album that I really like that only four other people listen to.
Well, I feel like when you hate so many things, you have to know a lot.
Oh, definitely.
Like, I feel like the people who know the most about religion are, like, atheists because they've had to, like...
You have to understand,
like,
what it is
you're like, you really think that, like, people were climbing a tower to space or whatever? It's like...
And they're like, yeah, it's the Tower of Babel. It's awesome. Split all the languages up just like that. They said you can't speak one language. You climb too high to the sun.
You know what I mean? Like, atheists know more about the Bible than your typical Christian for
yeah.
sure, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like that. Like, I hate everything, so, like...
You're informed about everything.
Yeah.
You're the smartest guy in San Diego.
I'm an asshole.
Yeah, I've been seeing that on the internet. It's really funny.
Oh, God.
You and Jay Patrick having a field day.
Yeah, he kind of inspired me, you know.
Oh, he inspired you.
Yeah. And, like, my most recent drama is because, like, he was arguing with someone, and I started, like, talking shit to the person he was arguing with.
Just for the fuck of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
People I never even met, you know what I mean? And then that all spilled all over the fucking place, and I was like, whatever, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, you two are single-handedly responsible for enhancing the quality of my Facebook feed.
I feel like Double Dragon, like, me and Jay Patrick need to be, like, back-to-back, and then just taking on, like, talking shit to everybody. Fuck it. People get fucking riled up about shit.
On the internet. Keyword, on the internet.
Right. And it's funny because, like, everyone I talk to, like, at the club, I'm like, hey, what's up, dude? They're like, oh, what's up? And, like, and then the internet, they're like, oh, fuck you, you're an idiot. I'm like, oh, you pussy. Like,
it's such a weird thing when you can separate human interaction by that many degrees.
Oh, dude, like, one comedian, like, blocked me off Facebook, and then he was leaving Madhouse and didn't have a ride. I think you were standing out there with me at the time. And he's like, oh, can I get a ride? And I was like, oh, I'm going the other way. And then I think he asked you, and you said no. And then he came back like a minute later. He's like, oh, I can't find anyone to give me a ride. And I was like, ah, you bitch. Like,
I think I know who you're talking about. If that's the case, that is really, really funny.
And I was just sitting there like cheesing the whole way. Like, yeah, sure. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll give you a ride. You know, because I don't really give a fuck. It's the internet.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
But I could tell, like, he, like, sheepishly was like, oh, can I get a ride?
Yeah, like, his necessity to get home at a reasonable time, like, trumped his beef.
Right.
His pseudo-cyber beef.
Right.
You know, his survival instincts kicked in.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's because we're all comedians. Like, we know how to separate it.
Maybe it's because we have cars, so people are just nicer to us.
Yeah. Imagine how nice they'd be if you had a truck, dude.
They'd be like, oh. I could take home 4 more comics.
What are you...
If I had a truck.
Fucking Madhouse is going to turn into, like, Home Depot, like...
Yeah, we need to start a comedy club ride share or something.
It should be, like... It should be, like, Home Depot, where there's, like, 4 comics standing out front, and you're just like, hop in!
It's like you're, like, the rich John walking the strip, and all these hookers are, like, slowly coming out of their dwelling, like,
oh,
we can get something out of that guy.
Like TJ? You ever go to TJ?
No, I've been to TJ, but I haven't been to that part.
God, that makes you feel like the fucking most awesome man in the world, because you're just, like, walking down the sidewalk, and they're like... And they try to, like, fucking pull on your shirt or whatever and get your attention.
And you're just handing out flyers for your podcast. Like, hey, respect John Atkins.
I do need to find a way to translate that.
Yeah.
They don't know English.
They don't know English. But if you say discount code on the card, they'll keep it. They'll keep it for some.
I should get the fucking taxi drivers down there working for me.
Yeah, dude. The Madhouse taxi driver, rideshare, hooker, all-in-one bundle company.
Right?
Yeah.
Might have to get, like, a Suburban or something, though. We can't have, like, a little Prius with all that stuff going on in there.
No. And you can't put tinted windows on a Prius.
Oh, fuck.
There's nothing discreet about tinted windows on a Prius.
Isn't it funny how, like, the batteries, like, in the Prius are, like, worse for the environment than, like...
Oh, like, if you're done with the battery?
Yeah.
We got to figure
signaling, dude.
We got to figure something out.
Right?
We got to figure something out. What we're doing is not working.
So you're not a big... Were you a fan of the Green New Deal where we're going to get rid of cars?
I'm not informed about any of these things. Like, people always are so confused how I'm so nice.
You just look like you know stuff.
But it's because I know everything that doesn't matter. I know entire discographies of bands you've never heard of. I know all these... instruments that people have used on all these albums to make their fucking music sound better. And I've seen so many bands at so many different places, and I've talked to them about these exact things. And consequentially, that means nothing to anyone. But it's my world, and
right.
That's everything that exists in my world. So I'm just happier because that's what my sphere is.
Right.
You know?
No, I get that. Everyone's kind of like that, except when you venture out of it where shit's like uncomfortable, you know?
Like, usually the news that I get comes from open micers talking about it in their stand-up. I'm like, oh, I guess that happened.
Yeah, I like
that happened.
I like doing that, though. It's like, easy joke. It's something that just happened in the news, you know?
I want to try to write more of those, like, monologue-y type jokes, but they're really, really tricky.
It's hard because, like, I think the trick to that is you have to get the crowd on your side early.
Yeah. And it's weird because I'm not a political guy, so it's weird to try to have a stance on that. But I just feel like from like a writing perspective, it'd be good to try to figure out more of those angles.
I mean, that'd probably work if you're like, oh, everyone's fucking an asshole, you know what I mean? Like, you guys are an asshole for trying to cancel Mario Lopez or whatever the fuck, you know? Like,
Yeah, like you always have to provide some sort of solution. Like, all right, if you cancel this guy, you're going to have to cancel that guy too.
Because right.
This guy's an even bigger piece of shit, but you don't care about it. Like, what was it? Mike Friedman was doing... I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to start burning his material.
Oh, yeah.
His good material on this... Not because it's your podcast.
Oh, but man. No, I like Mike Friedman.
But yeah, it's a... You know, never mind.
He does a show right, like two blocks from here.
The Vinyl Draft?
Yeah, Vinyl Draft, yeah.
Yeah, I work Tuesday nights, so I haven't been able to do Vinyl Draft. I haven't been able to do Good Bar. I haven't been able to do ACC.
Oh, I want to go to Good Bar because Trevor Wallace is going to be there.
Dude, that guy is hilarious. I've seen his stand-up a couple of times.
Dude, I've seen him at ACC do an open mic. But, yeah, he's going to be at Good Bar tomorrow. I never knew who he was until... Bradley Havard like showed me one of his videos, and I was like, and then they all fucking pop up like all the time after that.
I'm like, God damn it.
Now they're see him all the time.
Now we're talking about it.
Yeah.
No, because I saw him do stand up at Lestat's. I saw him do stand up somewhere else, and he was like really funny. He was like, you know, they had five comics on that showcase or whatever. And I remember him standing out as being like, oh, I legitimately like enjoyed his comedy. And then one friend on Facebook shared like some video, and I'm like, I watched it. I'm like, oh, that's the guy who does. This guy who did stand-up at Lestat's, and it was like 4.5 million views. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Right?
And like, I click on his profile, start looking at his stuff. I'm like, oh, so he's like a big like YouTuber guy. Like he's actually got like a legit YouTube following.
Right.
But I knew him as like a stand-up.
That's probably the smart way to do it, you know? Because it takes years, you know, to get good at stand-up. So, but it also takes years to build up a following. So why would you wait till you're good to start building a following? Like,
I suppose that's what you're doing now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'll be good later.
Yeah, exactly.
Following now.
Right. I mean.
No, but it's a cool idea because then you have all these up-and-comers and that are brand new, just like us, that listen to this podcast.
Right.
And, you know.
And it's good for, like, networking and, I don't know, I like learning stuff, too, you know. You get to fucking learn cool shit about people. Like, you know, Mikey Gordon, I didn't know, like, he wrestled on Monday Night Raw and shit. Like,
dude, I really want to see one of his wrestling things. Like, that's...
Oh, he had one the other day I wanted to go to.
I just saw a video on Facebook. He threw somebody onto a table.
And yeah.
The table threw someone, picked someone up over his shoulders.
Yeah.
Threw him out of the ring. Lands on the friggin' table, and he's just like.
And then there's an internet famous wrestler named Joey Ryan that goes to his matches sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's famous for making his opponent grab his dick, and then he like makes him do a flip like with his dick because his dick's so like powerful or whatever.
Oh, so the guy's holding on to the dick while he's being flipped.
Yeah.
He's not called Dick Flipper.
No. So. I don't know what it's called, but...
Andrew Ryan, what was his name?
Joey Ryan.
Joey Dick Flipper Ryan.
Yeah. He's, like, internet famous. Like, I would watch ESPN, and they would, like, show, like, a clip as, like, a joke. Like, oh, look at this funny shit, you know? Yeah. It'd be him, like, flipping someone with his dick. But, yeah, he shows up, like, they're pretty legit fucking events, you know?
You know, because, as again, someone who's completely uninformed... I think of wrestling, I just think of, you know, everything that's, like, choreographed on WWE.
Yeah.
I know this stuff is still choreographed, too.
Yeah.
You know, there's still danger, there's still,
you know,
all these risks involved. But, like, something about the low ceilings, all these close quarters, and this is just going down. Mikey's crying and bleeding. He's got makeup smeared all over his face.
He looks fucking crazy.
Ripped his shit, just throwing somebody out of the ring onto a table. I'm like, I should probably get on that.
I mean, you look like you would like that scene, bro. Like... I went to one of his matches like 3 weeks ago, and then fucking someone hit him with a fluorescent light bulb tube or fluorescent tube.
Yeah.
And it fucking shattered everywhere, like in the crowd. And like, I was standing there holding my beer, and like a piece of the glass like stuck to the bottle. And then I guess it got in like people's food and shit, and the manager got mad, but I was like, whatever, dude.
Like cheers, bro. I'll drink to that.
I walked around for like half an hour with like a little piece of glass like just stuck to my body. I was like, oh, look at this shit.
Walking out, you ask the guy next to you, hey, do you enjoy the show? And he's just like massaging his eye like, yeah, it's great. Takes his hand off. There's a chunk of glass sticking out of his cornea.
No, it's pretty good. Definitely get your tickets early, because if you go, like, I think he just posted something about tickets going on sale today, because he has like $10 tickets. But those sell out, and then, like, you gotta get, like, a front row.
So
like,
his shows sell out. That's so crazy. That's so cool.
Yeah, his shows sell out for sure. And they have, like, so if you don't get, like, one of the $10 tickets, you gotta buy, like, a table or whatever for, like, $25 or $30.
But then you can split the table with four people or whatever.
Yeah, but where I was sitting in the second row without a table, and those were, like, $25 each. but whatever. We bought them like at the door.
Yeah, and at least you're supporting like local stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, I know them and shit too.
Yeah, so. I'm not throwing it down to Starbucks or Burger King, or some awful corporation that doesn't need more money.
Right. Oh man,
that's what bugs me about Starbucks the most is just the way they will plant themselves in strategically in places that are next to mom and pop coffee shops.
Oh, is that?
I never thought about that. Get the mom and pop coffee shops out of business, and then either decrease the amount of Starbucks in that location, or just leave altogether. Because definitely on Adams Ave at Lestat's, you know, a company like Starbucks can pick any property they want on that entire strip and pay it comfortably because they're Starbucks. But why do they have the corner spot directly with an eye shot of Lestat's?
Yeah.
Like, if you are sitting at the window at Lestat's and you look out across the street, you'll see Starbucks.
I wonder how they find it, then. I wonder if they have people just, like, scouring locations, like, these would be some perfect people to fuck over. Like.
Yeah, I think they have gremlins. They have little gremlins that just shimmy into the night and scout all these.
I wonder if they have a car that just, like, follows the Google car.
It's a gremlin, Ford Motors gremlin car.
Yeah. Or AMC. Were they AMC or were they Ford? I don't know either. I'm not that kind of a man.
I'm not that informed.
I haven't seen a Google car in a long time. I feel like I used to see them before.
Does that mean they already took over then?
Probably.
Yeah. They've already integrated into the rest of the motor force. That's weird, the self-driving thing. I mean, then again, everything is weird when it's new. Like,
right.
Like what? Black people, white people have the same water fountains? That's weird. I don't know about that.
Right.
Well, one thing I heard, and maybe you can validate this for me or not, is that when you are making like a online transaction or whatever, and to prove you're not a bot, you have to like pick all the pictures with signs.
Yeah.
Or pick all the pictures with buses.
Yeah.
What I heard is that that's the technology they're lending to self-driving cars in order to have the cars understand what a bus is.
Really?
Because if they compile all these pictures of buses picked by the users, us, during these checkout transactions, in order to feed that into the algorithm.
I've heard the same kind of thing, but about the ones where you have to type in the letters.
Oh, really?
But that's about like teaching them how to read or how to...
Like street signs or...
No, just like so the computers know how to like recognize like patterns or whatever. But I've heard that before too about the ones you like type in. But I mean, it's all probably true, you know.
It is, but I'm like, you're getting us to work for free.
Yeah.
Because we can't not have Amazon. We can't not have 2-day shipping.
Yeah, like it's funny. Like we were talking about like the corporations and cancel culture. I saw something earlier yesterday about how everyone was trying to do like a boycott of Olive Garden.
Oh, really? Not because it's bad, but because of something else.
Because, well, they're like, oh, Olive Garden is supporting President Trump. We need to boycott them. And then everyone got all pissed off. And then Olive Garden tweeted, they're like, we don't know where this came out, but we don't support any presidential candidate, or we don't donate to any presidential candidate. And then Everyone's like, but it's like a whole big thing yesterday about like boycott like Olive Garden. And they're like, basically, like their Twitter's like, what the fuck? Like, what is this?
Yeah, it's just by virtue of there being so many people in the world at any given time, there's bound to be in a sizable demographic that disagrees with you.
Right.
So it's like you're going to not buy fried chicken because that's the one.
Right.
You know, I get it if they're actively campaigning against it, right. Fine. But if like, oh yeah, you know, we don't go to Best Buy because the CEO donated, you know, $500,000 to Trump or whatever. It's like,
right.
There's a lot of people that work at Best Buy.
Yeah, you know? I was watching Joe Rogan the other day, and I guess like there's a whole list of like these companies that donated to Trump, and they were like McDonald's, fucking Chick-fil-A, and the guys like they were like reading through the list, and I was like, oh, so every major fucking business, like Wendy's, like yeah, all these fucking big companies are gonna donate, like the pro business guy.
It's just that's such a weird degree of infuriation when it's like the fast food places,
right?
Fuck these people. Like, I remember I read this story about this, I want to say it was like a South Korean transit company that was like fucking over the workers' like retirement or their label or their some fund, some sort of, you know, or the union, whatever it was. And so in order to protest, rather than shut down all the buses, they just let everybody ride for free.
Oh, nice.
So that way it hits the higher-ups because they're actually hitting them where it hurts, and they're not screwing over the hard-working people.
Yeah, it gets the public on your side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just not going to the drive-thru doesn't really carry the same weight to it.
Right.
It doesn't. I was trying to work out a joke about that, too, about, you know, everybody wants to dump Chick-fil-A because, you know, they're homophobic, allegedly. Well, they are, you know, the people...
Right.
I was trying to find out an angle, like, well, doesn't the bigotry make the chicken taste better, though? Like, don't you want racist people to make your fried chicken because it makes fried chicken really, really good?
Like, racism's one of the 11 herbs and spices.
That's the secret ingredient. Yeah, it never worked, but I want to keep trying something like that.
People just want to be mad, and then, like, people like me can't help it, so you gotta fucking stoke it a little bit.
Oh, You're the prime stoker.
Yeah.
Prime Stoker's Dracula over here.
Oh, speaking of people fighting on the internet, you have a fight coming up that's not on the internet.
It's not on the... We're promoting it on the internet.
Right.
But this fight is going to be in person.
Oh, so what's up with it?
So I am squaring off against amateur comedian Josh Krebs. Amateur comedian, semi-professional boat driver, boat captain. We are going to be boxing in an inflatable ring with inflatable gloves and inflatable helmets in nothing but shorts and socks to a room full of rowdy strangers on September 11th, Tower Night. There will be four fights that I know of. I think it's going to be Damian Mercado and Ryan Shores. J. Patrick McCoig and Mike Bentley.
Right.
It's going to be myself and Josh Krebs, and I think there's one more.
It's Mikey Gordon and someone, right? Or no?
He's
promoting it.
Yeah, but I don't think he's...
You don't think he's fighting?
No. There's going to be a panel of, like, comedians. Like, three... There's, like, Neil Singh and two other guys that I also don't know. Probably Gordon Downs. They're going to officiate the event.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have panel, but it's going to be... It's not a comedy show. There's going to be only comedians fighting.
Right.
But it's like...
Is there anything you want to tell Josh before you guys this fight?
I mean, I hyped it up in the promo vid real well. Maybe you can plug a link to that in your podcast.
Oh, yeah. I'll put a link in the description.
But
you just have the one, right?
Yeah. I just did the one. We shot a couple at the Madhouse just like last minute. He's like, hey, let's do a promo video.
Oh, where you guys are in the bathroom together?
Yeah. Yeah. He was... I was going in before my set, and he was taking a piss, and we were just chewing the fat, and then I made some jab, like, oh, yeah, like, shoot a promo vid right now, and then he's like, actually, and then reaches into his pocket, hits the front-facing camera, and just starts recording a promo vid like that. Like, his are so janky.
What? Why'd you want to go against him?
Because he's always talking shit.
Really?
Yeah, he's always talking shit. He's such a bad bartender. And he's like the worst bartender I've ever had.
Damn.
And I've talked to him about this too. And he's like, you know, I'm just like busting your balls because like, it's cool. And I'm like, you know, you can still like bust my balls and be a good bartender. Like, they're not mutually exclusive. So it's like and you know what? I always tip my bartenders.
Right.
I always tip him a buck, even if he's just doing the bare minimum, which is just pouring a glass 45 degrees into a handle. Like, that's not hard to do.
What if he turns around and just grabs a bottle? Does that count?
Yeah, that's more work because then he has to open the bottle. And it's like everything he does behind the bar is a groan or an eye roll. And I'm just ready to beat the shit out of him in public.
Is he like takes forever to make drinks and...
Yeah.
Can't.
Yeah, and he knows I'm easy. I'm so quick. I'm like, give me a club soda with lime or give me a beer or give me a vodka soda. I'm not asking for cocktails. I'm not asking for Neapolitans. I'm not asking for Negronis. And he's just like, ugh. And then he goes, helps somebody else, and then helps me out. And he's always given me consistently the worst service at the bar more than anyone in Madhouse history.
Oh, shit.
So I'm actually his third. He was my first choice, but I'm his third choice.
Oh, really?
So initially, he wanted to fight Sean McCaw.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I guess
yeah.
He couldn't do that. And then he wanted to fight Vince D'Amico, and I'm like, ugh, okay, fine. Then he's like, yeah, okay, I guess I'll fight Christian. So I told Mikey, I was like, make it happen. He put us on the flyer, and it's happening.
Yeah, I told him the Sean McCaw, like, because I always tell him that he looks like Sean McCaw's prequel.
Yeah.
So if he tried to fight him, like, it wouldn't work because Sean McCaw would know, like, all the moves that he's about to do because he's in from the future.
It's funny how upset Josh gets about that. Like, everybody else sees it, and he's like, oh, it's not... He gets, like, so personally attacked over that thing.
Can you imagine, like, fighting your future self? He's like, oh, I think a right hook's coming, and, like, get out of the way.
And then it's funny, because now Sean McCaw's into that bit, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So he'll... So once everybody in the room starts harping on it, then he starts harping on it. Did the same thing at Madhouse on Saturday night.
You can't show any weakness, dude.
No.
People are fucking vicious.
Yeah, I'm so glad I don't have a thin skin, because I do not think I would have made it this long.
Right.
Which is barely anything. I've still been doing stand-up less than a year, but I'm like...
So you are going to beat him, though, right?
Oh, pff, no doubt.
Oh,
no doubt.
Shit.
I actually exercise. I eat properly to a degree. He just smokes cigarettes and drinks White Claws. That's his whole diet, is cigarettes and White Claws.
Oh, you got to find... I think he also eats, like, a bag of Cheez-Its every day.
Oh, too. There you go. For, you know, nutritional value of Cheez-Its, I'm sure that does so well. No, dude, I'm fucking... I'm getting my proteins, I'm getting my carbs, I'm getting my fats, I'm getting my sugars, I'm getting everything. I'm getting everything. I'm getting veggies, I'm getting meat.
You need to, like, start the match off, like, get under his skin somehow and, like, have some type of White Claw, like, effigy.
My problem is I like White Claw, too, so I can't be...
I do like White Claw, too.
What's funny is that...
No one likes it as much as Josh.
Josh doesn't know how to roast me, like... Jay Patrick roasts me very, very good. Like, there's been a few times where if I go up right before him and he comes on after me, he'll spend, like, the first minute of his set just, like, torching me. That's hilarious because he's really good. Like, he's just really good at finding those little points. And Josh Krebs doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
What's the best thing Jay Patrick said about you?
Oh, I think he starts rattling off, you know, some of the, it depends on what kind of set I do, but, you know, he'll be like, Christian went to college, but he looks like that and doesn't play in a band. That's just like stolen valor for punks. And he'll just like harp on that for like a minute. Like, he beats his girlfriend. He works in an Italian restaurant with no Italians. It's like, and it's funny. It's really, really funny. But Josh is just like this guy doesn't know how to fight. He's not ready. He ain't even ready for this fight. And I'm like, what is that you trying to... What's the funny part is, all his friends that are not comedians have been chiming in on those statuses, and been roasting me way fucking better.
Oh, I've seen that. I've seen some comedians have funnier friends than they are.
Whew. Josh Krebs is a prime example.
It's like that Nate guy, right?
Yeah, that Nate guy. There was a Steve guy or something that was like, because then my whole thing was like, I'm glad you wore that captain's hat because it really flaunts your affinity for blowing steam. Like, how are you going to get to the venue? Your stupid skateboard, you're going to be out of breath by the time you get there.
Right.
And then one of his friends commented, like, at least my boy Josh rides his skateboard to get places. You riding the devil's dick, it ain't even getting you places. And I was like,
that's good.
Yeah, it was really, really funny. And then he had some other friend comment on that candlelight push-up video that I did.
Yeah,
did you see that one? One of the comments was like, man, y'all praying to Satan, and Satan can't even get you to do real push-ups. Y'all should be praying to the spirit of Al-Qaeda, because then you'd actually be able to get some physical exercise in. And I was like, like, that guy was really funny, too. And he had a couple other comments like, man, he don't even believe him himself. That's why his fingers crossed in the picture. Like, you just kept harping on. See, I'm like, man, Josh, your friends are way funnier than you are.
Right?
And he didn't like that. He didn't like that because he saw it for what it was, which is him being not as funny as his non-comedian friends.
I've heard that from like a lot of comedians. They're like, oh, my brother was like way funnier than
me.
Dude,
I have a handful of friends like that too that are just like consistently hilarious.
Yeah,
but they don't do stand. They're just not. It's a weird...
It is way harder to, like, translate it to, like, a stage. Because, I mean, like, when you're bantering back and forth, it's one thing, but when it becomes, like, a monologue, then it's, like...
Yeah, I've never been, like, a life of the party type of guy. Like, I don't ever, like, jump into a ring of people and start trying to, like, make everybody... But if, like, if there's an energy there, and, like, there's a... Then, like, I can hit really good when I'm really comfortable, and there's good energy, so it's, like, I know I have that in there.
Yeah.
But I feel like I have patience to try to, like, flesh it out and write it out and... Not saying that every, like, party run-in is going to turn into a bit, but just kind of seeing how things work sometimes is helping the writing.
I know. I feel like my writing's okay, but, like, I need to be in a better, like, mood when I'm, like, performing. Because I feel like on the days where I'm, like, in a good mood and, like, I feel, like, happy, like, I'm killing it.
Yeah.
And the days where I'm like, ah, fuck, I don't even know if they're going to call my name. Like, those are the days where I'm, like, struggling and then I'm, like, no energy and shit.
But you do it because you have to. Just like, you know, you have to have like a minimum criteria, or else you're gonna go crazy. Like,
it's true. But yeah, like the days, like there's some days where I'm just not feeling it, but I'm like, I'm here, but like, fuck.
Just like every day at the Comedy Palace, I'm not feeling it. Every single time I've been to the Comedy Palace, I'm not feeling it.
I've never done their mic, but I've heard mixed reviews on it.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah,
we'll leave it at that, so I don't get drawn 37 when I go there tonight. Like, oh boy, I can't wait to go up 4 hours from now.
Oh man, I heard like if you do their class though, then like you get.
Oh yeah, I just gotta whore out my wallet to get a better spot on a Monday night open mic.
Right. It's like headshots. Gotta get some headshots, man.
I do. I'm worried about taking pictures. It's always been weird to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the idea. Like I don't like selfies are the worst. Like I don't even take pictures of myself other places.
I feel like my arms are too short for like a good selfie, because I always have like a shitty angle. I need like longer arms.
It's just like the concept. Like that feels so weird to me, to just hold up like a phone to yourself and have nothing on the screen but yourself. Like the only time I have pictures taken of me, it's like if somebody else is there. And even then I have to go through like 7 walls in my brain to ask somebody to take a picture for me.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I know that's one thing that people complain about, or like people taking pictures of their food, but I like when people take pictures of their food.
Yeah, but again, I'm not into food. I'm not taking pictures with my food. I take pictures a lot, but it's rarely me. Like,
but I always see, you know, like people complain about it. They're like, oh, like Instagram's just pictures of food. I'm like, well, I like seeing it. Like, it looks cool.
Yeah, it's better than pictures of your ugly kid.
Right.
I've unfollowed and unfriended so many people as soon as they're like getting a kid, or they're like obnoxious type of people that once they get engaged, I'm like, forget about it.
Oh, it's yeah.
Nothing but just fruity engagement photos and statuses and minor achievements that I do not.
Would you ever do a joint Facebook account?
I'd rather jump off the Coronado Bridge before I get a joint Facebook. That's the beginning of the end right there.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Just I won't even be on social media if it has to be a joint account. Like, no. That's the weirdest thing.
That is
so weird. And what's weirder, the joint Facebook account or the social media account for the animals?
Weirder. I feel like the joint one's weirder. I feel like the animal one's just people who are attention or need attention.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But like the joint one, I feel like it's weirder because it'll be like their names will be like. Brad Chelsea Williams.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Mary Jeff Johnson. Yeah.
The dog ones are always like, I wouldn't say it's weird. It's just kind of sad, you know? Like,
I think it's weirder when they start putting the captions as the animal.
Oh, I haven't.
And they're like, oh, mommy took me for a walk today. Can you see how happy I am? Paw face. Like,
that's fucking awesome.
What is wrong with people? Was that what you were about to say? Yeah. What is wrong? Oh.
I'm bringing back bullying.
Bring it back.
I'm just going to fucking beat up some nerds. You hear that, nerds? Don't go to Comic-Con next year because I will fuck you all up.
Yeah,
steal your lunch money. What is this shit?
Steal their Bitcoin lunch money.
Do you remember when people were like ashamed of stupid shit they did? Like, you remember when people had secrets?
I think it's even weirder that like you could... And I'm pretty sure this has already happened. Being born after the internet and every single picture you've been taken has been uploaded to a cloud.
Yeah, that's
like
crazy.
You as a brand new human being have documented pictures. Like, I have baby photos of me that are on, like, developed Kodak 1-hour photos. Like, I can burn those and, like, nobody will ever see them.
Right.
Like, it just doesn't exist anymore. But if you've taken a picture on a camera or a cell phone after a certain point, it just exists.
Do you think Polaroids were invented solely for perverts?
No, but I think perverts helped boost the stock.
They're like, you mean I can take a picture and the guy that develops it won't see it? Like, sign me up.
Dude.
I feel like that was like the pinnacle technology achievement. It was like the Polaroid. Because then, now we have like the digital cameras where everyone can see it. So we went the opposite way from
No
one's ever going to see this to like everybody's going to see this.
And I feel like there was only one copy of that photo. So you were just like, this is my one.
Right.
This is it. This is the good one. I'm keeping it. Like, you had to protect it. You know, you had to protect your little shoebox of all the dungeon kids you were keeping in your basement. Like, There were steps. There were steps of security.
Right. Physical layer one security, you know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, dude. Like, I feel like the 90s were the best, like, right before the internet. Because we had, like, advanced technology, but we didn't have the internet yet. And then the internet is kind of...
It would feel so weird to me to be born after the internet.
Right.
That would be... Like, you've only known life with just the internet. Like, you literally cannot...
Was it like this year's college freshmen were born after 9/11, right?
Probably. Mathematically, that would
make sense. 01, right? What year is this? 2019, yeah.
Yeah,
so.
This would be 18.
Damn, bro. That's fucking... Can you imagine that? Like, we're fucking old.
Yeah, like, I heard there's, like, cell phones... They stopped trying to, like, ban cell phones in classrooms now.
Oh, really?
Just have their phones up on their desks.
Oh, my God,
like,
dude.
Because, like, don't get me wrong. We were still young. There was still internet. You know, we still had Windows 98.
Right.
You know, but, like, internet as we know it now is not...
Right.
...a thing. Like, it was brand new when, like, MapQuest was a thing. And you had to, like, look it up and then print it out. And then you still had to follow all the street signs. You just know you had to go 300 feet this way, mile and a half there.
I remember, like, not everyone had a website. Like, sometimes they had, like, an AOL keyword. They're like, because, like, their commercial would be like, oh, such and such, like, AOL keyword Ben and Jerry's or something. Yeah. It's like, that's not a website, but, like.
Yeah. Ask your parents before going online.
Yeah, man.
Like, it was a luxury. I remember, like, you'd have to go to school all day. You'd have to, you know, do your homework, do your errands, eat dinner with the family, sit down at dinner, you know, make sure everything was good. And then after that, if you wanted to spend 30 minutes or an hour playing fucking Jimmy Neutron Flash games, then you could. But that was like that little window where you could fuck with the internet.
It and it's like weird how now, because kids, like little kids, they think everything's a touchscreen.
Including the windows in my restaurant.
Right. They're trying to swipe it.
Dude. Fucking, and it's a problem with these parents that have kids too early. They don't want to fucking parent their kids.
Oh, so like they were too young when they had
kids? Yeah, they were too young when they had kids because we should have more restrictions about having kids. It's ridiculous that you want to operate a motor vehicle, you need a license, you want to practice law, you need to be certified, you need to cut open people's hearts, you got to have... you know, verification, but you want to have a kid, no, green light, just go for it. That's not okay. That's not okay. Because, here we are, because now all these parents who have kids too young, they don't feel like parenting, they don't want to parent as good as they should. They deflect to these tablets, these little phone screens, and they shove it 2 inches from their infant's face, and they're fucking eating their Fruit Loops with like a screen that's 2 inches from their face. And I see this every day at the restaurant.
I feel like it's not that they're too young. It's that like the way our economy works, that like both parents have to work, so they're both tired, instead of like the guy going to work and then the fucking wife staying home like they're supposed to.
Right.
So now it's like, oh, we both got to work fucking 50 hours a week and
yeah,
drop our kid off the babysitter.
Yeah, and now mommy and daddy just want to have a pappardelle bolognese without worrying about your shit for 45 minutes. And it's like, I see the headphones come on, and then the phone screen is, like, right by their face, and I'm like, are you even participating in life right now? Like, your ears and your sight and everything's cut off by, like, technology right now. Like, how are you participating?
Yeah, I think it sucks, though, because, like, I definitely feel like a lot of our, like, societal problems would be better if, like, there actually were more families and, like, but structured where, like, one works and one, like, raises their kids and all that other shit.
I think it's weird to me that people don't think it's weird how much everyone's on their phones.
Yeah.
Like, everybody... How many people have you seen walking around and they just have the phone in their hand?
Oh, I do.
Like, just... Not even, like, checking it, looking for something.
Oh, just
like,
walking it in their hand? Yeah, I do that.
It's just... Or, like, taking pictures now and there's always phones in people's hands.
Yeah.
Like, they can't put it in the pocket to take a picture. Like...
Yeah.
It's weird how people don't think it's weird that we're just, like, glued to these things.
But also, on the other hand, most people suck, so I'd rather be on my phone than look at their... whatever bullshit too, you know?
I mean, you can get out of any argument by saying most people
suck. I know. Is that a cop-out? Like, yeah, well, everyone else sucks.
I was like, yeah, I mean, the Crusades were bad, right? Yeah, well, most people suck.
Oh, fuck. Let's see. Hell yeah, we've fucking been going for a while. So you got anything else? You got just your...
just the fight, 9/11. It's at the Key Club. I keep saying the Key Club.
Hell yeah,
it's the Ken Club.
That's a different kind of party.
That was the Colombian coffee party. Yeah, it's at the Ken Club in Adams Ave off Adam's Ave. Tickets are $10. You know, we're keeping it cheap.
Where do we get tickets?
You can DM anybody performing, preferably me.
What's your IG handle and all that shit?
My IG is Christian Killer with a dot between the two words.
Christian.Killer?
Christian.Killer, yeah. The Christian Allens were all taken.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I didn't want to put like four underscores between the two.
You could have been like 666 or something.
Yeah. Metalheads have already have that. They already have the 666 after everything.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that hack.
Right on. So September 11th at September the Kensington 11th Club on Kensington Adams Club. Avenue.
Yeah, it's a fight, but it's comedians fighting with inflatable gloves.
So it'll still be funny even though it's not supposed to be.
Yeah, it's still going to be very funny.
And you're going to fuck up Josh Krebs?
Oh my God, so bad.
Do you have a
so
finishing bad. Move or anything?
Yeah, ripping his throat out and skip and jump rope with it.
Damn, bro.
That's what I'm going to do.
That's fucking metal.
Dude, he's talking so much shit. He's going to be wheezing and coughing. They're literally going to have to pry him off of me. Because after this, I'm not going to do it. If they say, oh, you advance to the next round, I'm saying no. Like, I'm literally doing this just to publicly beat the shit out of Josh Krebs.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I don't know who's reffing yet, but they're going to have to pull him off me. They're going to have to pull me off him because I'm just going to strangle him until he's pink.
Yeah, he's kind of pink.
And see, the underlying goal is to hopefully pop enough blood vessels in his brain that he actually gives me good service when I go to the bar in Madhouse.
All right, so Christian will be taking on San Diego's worst bartender, Josh Krebs, on September 11th at the Kensington Club.
It's a Wednesday.
Tickets are $10. DM Christian.Killer on Instagram to get your tickets. Thanks for stopping by, dude.
Appreciate it, John. Thank you.
All right, man. Have a good one. See everybody.